In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, you have to pity the poor Pharisee. It's not easy to be one, after all. You have to take your religion so seriously that it permeates every aspect of your life. Well, that's not a bad thing, of course. To be in relationship with God means that his claim on your life is an ever-present reality that shapes and infiltrates every aspect of life. The problem with being a Pharisee is that you struggle to live up to your sense of holiness, but never actually get there. And you fail to achieve it because you miss the point about what holiness really is. You never understand that God desires mercy over sacrifice. Think what happens when sacrifice is devoid of mercy. Think how hard a Pharisee has to try to offer up his life as a sacrifice to God. For the Pharisee, everything in life is a mirror image of the temple and the sanctity of sacrifice that's found there. The rabbis, as the Pharisees would in time come to be known, would note that the Mosaic law regulated two things more than anything else: sex and food. Now, they reasoned that reproduction and eating were things required of every creature, whether animals and Gentiles or Israelites. And when it came to food, what you ate and who you ate with were fundamental to being different, to living life as if you were living it in the temple, to be holy before the Lord. You see, it was all about sacrifice. But sacrifice without mercy. The Pharisees were shocked to see Jesus eating with people that they would exclude from the temple. There was Matthew, a hated tax collector. There were others there at that table that we know only collectively as sinners, and we can only imagine what they had done to incur the scorn of the Pharisees. This was a great offense to the Pharisees, and it proved to them that Jesus simply was not on the same sanctification page as they were. This was, in their view, a rogue's gallery of sinners, of temple rejects. One can almost hear the disgust in their voice as they ask the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" That Jesus chose to eat with society's outcast challenges every notion of sacrifice that the Pharisees thought they had made with their lives. And frankly, it challenges us as well. Given a choice, would you eat with, would you hang around with the notorious sinners of your society or the upright pillars of society? There's an old expression: you're known by the company you keep. You see, there's another problem with Pharisaism, and that is it's not confined to the pages of the New Testament, but it lives on in the hearts of outwardly religious people even today. Yeah, even in seminarians, deaconess students, and seminary professors. Avoid that man who left his wife. Don't make eye contact with that drunk on the street. Pretend you too don't see that pregnant teenager who spends 5 days a week walking alone down crowded high school hallways. Don't sit with that student, that classmate, about whom you've heard those awful rumors. Be careful who you're seen with. People are watching you and judging you by the company you keep. But you know, when the Pharisees condemned Jesus for eating with tax collectors and sinners, they condemned themselves. The great tragedy of this is not their sense of self-righteous superiority over manifest sinners. The great tragedy is that they did not see that Jesus had come to eat with them also. Everything about the temple and its holiness, everything they tried to reflect in their lives, was embodied in this one who called that tax collector sinner Matthew and said, "Follow me." Jesus called Matthew and then sat down to eat with him and with other sinners, because that's why he had been born. He came to unite himself to a human race destroyed by sin, oppressed by guilt, and devastated by separation from him, their creator. By eating with them, he brought the temple to them, and he brought them into the temple. He was fulfilling his own demand for mercy rather than sacrifice. He came to embrace those who live on the outskirts of society, the ones nobody wants to see. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I've come to call the right, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. This was the great physician, the one who came to heal by taking the sickness of us all into his own self. He came to show us what it means to desire mercy, not sacrifice. Here is the one who, though he knew no sin, became sin for us all. Here is the one who bore the sin of Matthew, of the Pharisees, of the outcast of society, of those of us gathered in Cramer Chapel this morning. This is the Christ who justifies the whole world. This is the Christ who lives that you and I might never die. This is the one who still calls sinners, like me, like you, and says, "Follow me." This is the Christ who places the only true holiness, that which is himself, upon us in that water with the Word. And this is the Christ who calls those on the outer rims of the society, those who are broken and hurting, to eat a meal with him, and in eating, to know true mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.